Steve, I know you were out Friday night, so you didn't see the first of the two-hour episodes each night of Leaving Neverland.
No.
I don't know how many people would have watched it, to be quite honest, because
I agree.
Channel 10 put it on Friday and Saturday night. It's not a great stay-at-home TV watch for us here in Australia.
No.
But the fallout has been swift.
Yep.
I did watch Friday nights, and I must say, yes, it was very detailed. It was the alleged sexual abuse that these two suffered allegedly at the hands of Michael Jackson through the 80s and 90s. They detailed being groomed by him, being brainwashed by him. They said it was, you know, part of the whole shtick, as for want of a better word. But I don't know. I've walked away. It was very hard to watch. It was actually stomach churning. My husband got up and left the room.
Yeah, I probably would have too.
Okay.
And also, you know, they've been to court saying it didn't happen. They've come back and rebutted their story. But so I was always imagining it'd be a bunch of more rehashed stuff, no real new revelations, or was there?
Well, not really, but I just kind of wonder why they did it.
Yeah.
Why? Mm. Why? 4 hours.
What's the focus on? What do they get?
And it was just detailing this alleged abuse.
Mm.
I don't understand it, unless it's for money. I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. But anyway, here's a little bit of the setup of Leaving Neverland.
Everybody wanted to meet Michael or be with Michael.
Hello, Wade. Today is your birthday, so congratulations. I love you. Goodbye.
There's no thoughts of this is wrong or anything like that.
He told me if they ever found out what we were doing, he and I would go to jail for the rest of our lives.
I've always thought the whole Jackson case at this point now is almost what you want to believe.
Yeah,
you know, it's almost got down to the point of you're an individual, what you want to believe.
The man is dead. He's never going to be able to defend himself
now.
But somebody that has covered Michael Jackson for The Sun and Huffington Post for many, 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 many years is a fellow. He's an investigative journalist, and his name is Charles Thompson. We thought we'd get him on to talk about what's been going on around the planet as far as Michael Jackson's concerned. G'day, Charles.
Hi there, how are you doing?
Very well.
You know, we've even heard quotes that Jermaine, his brother, says you know more about this case than he does, and that makes sense too, because a lot of his family have a little bit been in the dark or certainly aren't going to talk about it. Can I ask you, though, if we go back to the 90s with LaToya Jackson, his sister who came out said she wouldn't be silent anymore. She said that she knows this goes on. Later on, she rebutted it, saying that her mad husband made her do it. The LaToya Jackson, when a sister comes out and claims that he's a pedophile.
Yeah, so LaToya initially said that Michael was innocent, and then she changed her tune and started selling interviews saying that he was guilty. She explained this later in life. She was married to a man called Jack Gordon, who's dead now, who was a criminal. He was her manager and her husband, and he was beating her quite horrendously, she said subsequently. And he would force her to take part in various professional activities that she didn't particularly want to do. He forced her, she said, to write a book attacking her family. He forced her to take part in nude photo shoots for magazines like Playboy. And he forced her to sell interviews attacking her brother. And interviews attacking Michael Jackson around the time of the Geordie Chandler allegations were worth something in the region of $200,000 each. So he did stand to make a lot of money if what she's saying is true.
Do you, after countless years and investigations, Charles, believe Michael Jackson was a pedophile?
I've seen nothing to persuade me that he was. Of course, anything is possible. But when you take each case and you really put it under the microscope and look at it on its merits, there is no case that's been brought which has ever come close to meeting the burden of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Everything sprang, of course, from the Geordie Chandler case, and that case was so weak that two grand juries refused to allow Michael Jackson to stand trial. And everything else came from there. The 2005 trial was an appalling case. If you go and read the trial transcripts, most of the jurors were actually prepared to vote not guilty before the defense had even begun its case. The prosecution rested, and there was a discussion about whether defense should put a case on, and eventually they decided that they should, which is where one of these accusers, Wade Robson, took the stand and testified for the defense. But subsequently, I interviewed some of the jurors, and they said that the majority of them, when they started their deliberations and they were talking about it, most of them had been ready to vote not guilty before the defense had even put a case on, because the prosecution case in 2005 was so atrocious. And then you have these two guys that have come forward now. And again, if you look beyond the TV show and beyond the headlines, and you actually get into the nitty-gritty of the 5 years of court documents which have preceded this TV show, you find numerous inconsistencies. One of them was actually caught lying under oath. The judge found that no rational juror could believe his account. So this is a very murky case again.
So do you see it as most times a money grab?
I think in every instance, there has been a financial motive. Geordi Chandler, his father, files a police report and a civil suit at the same time. The 2005 accusers go to a civil lawyer. The lawyer refuses to take their case, says you're going to need a conviction before anyone will represent you. And so that only then do they go to the police. And then Wade Robson and Jimmy Safechuck go straight to a civil lawyer again and file creditors' claims. So every single accusation that's been made has irrefutably been financially motivated.
And what about, see, when you watch it, I don't know whether you even bothered watching Leaving Neverland, Charles, but when you're watching it, you walk away going, okay, I don't get why they've done it. But also, if this was true, if these two were, you know, allegedly assaulted by this supposed monster, what the hell were their parents doing? Because their parents were basically handing them over. Now, would parents not think twice about handing them to a grown man to sleep in his bed if they felt fear? Or is the whole world around Michael Jackson, were people just blinded by his celebrity?
Well, the interesting thing about these families is the documentary and the media coverage tries to portray Michael Jackson as a predator who would go out searching for children to abuse, whereas the evidence in each case is that these were parents who thrust their children upon Michael Jackson. Mm. I mean, Wade Robson's mother details how she went to great lengths to try and contact him and get him to boost her son's career. So if Michael Jackson is a predatory paedophile, he's not doing a very good job if he's just sitting around waiting for people to bring their kids to him. Mm. And I mean, it speaks to, what parent would allow that if they had any doubts whatsoever? And I mean, Wade Robson's mother testified in Michael Jackson's defense in 2005.
You see, I've always thought with the parent point of view, exactly what Tanya said, but also to add the ones that just took the hush money. I mean, if your child has been, allegedly sexually assaulted in any way, you want to take it to the end, not to just stop with hush money.
Yeah, well, it wasn't really hush money. So the settlement is always misrepresented. What happened was the Chandlers made a police report and filed a civil suit at the same time. And then the police investigation hit a brick wall because the police couldn't find any evidence that Michael Jackson had done anything wrong. The boy at first said he wasn't accused, then changed his story and said he was accused. He only changed his story after his father gave him a drug called sodium amytal, which sounds insane, but the dad actually admitted it in a TV interview. And sodium amytal at the time was thought to be a truth serum. It turned out to be the exact opposite. Years of research later connected it to all sorts of false UFO abduction memories and all kinds of stuff. So the boy's testimony was not credible. They carried out a surprise raid on Neverland and found no incriminating evidence. And then they served a warrant on Michael Jackson, which forced him to pose for a naked photo shoot because the boy said he could accurately describe Michael Jackson's genitals. And then when they took the photographs from that photo shoot, they didn't match the description. Mm. So the police case was in tatters.
Mm.
And then what happened was the civil suit was still going through the legal system at the usual rate. And the judge ordered everybody in the case to be deposed, meaning they had to be they had to give evidence under oath on video. And Michael Jackson's lawyers were up in arms saying, well, hang on a minute. The American Constitution gives him a right to a fair criminal trial. And there is an active open police investigation. It's very possible that he's going to stand a criminal trial. and you want him to give away his defense in a civil case. What that means is the prosecutors have a front row seat for your defense, and then they can tailor their case to work around it. So, for instance, if you have an alibi in the civil case, then when they bring the criminal case, they just change the dates. So they destroy your defense by making you give it away in a kind of a pointless civil case where all that's at stake is money, and then you've lost your defense when you come to fight for your life in a criminal case. And so Michael Jackson's lawyers fought for months to try to get this decision reversed, and only when it got right down to the wire and he was about to be deposed did they settle the civil case. And the civil settlement specifically, firstly, did not admit any wrongdoing, and secondly, had a provision written into it that everybody involved was still entitled to testify in a criminal proceeding. So the reason Michael Jackson didn't stand trial was not because of the settlement. He didn't stand trial because the case was so weak that in the end they couldn't bring a criminal case. They took the case to two grand juries in America, and both grand juries rejected it. So they couldn't bring a criminal case.
Well, Charles, we started this by asking you, did you think he was a pedophile? You said nothing has presented itself to make you believe that. Okay, so I'll ask you this then. Do you think he was an easy target for people wanting to make money off a very generous, childlike individual who the world loved?
That's definitely true. His lawyer once made a statement. I don't know if it was hyperbole, but there's certainly a grain of truth in it. He called Michael Jackson the most sued celebrity in history. He was sued hundreds and hundreds of times. And people always pick out the molestation cases and say, well, look how many people sued him for molestation, which has been four in 30 years. But they don't pick out, for example, all the women who sued him and said, he's the father of my child, of which there were more.
Nah.
And there were, I mean, it got down to even ludicrous levels. Like there was a guy that sued him and said that he'd stolen all of his songs on the Bad album from him. It took 10 minutes to find out this guy was about 3 years old when the Bad album was recorded. There was another business partner who sued him because he said that when Michael Jackson came and stayed with him, he ate some Ben and Jerry's ice cream and he wanted to be reimbursed for the ice cream. I mean, he was sued over and over again, and often by obsessed fans who thought that if they sued him, then he'd have to come to court and they could meet him. So he was certainly sued frivolously many, many times.
The whole thing is just if it wasn't real, you'd just think it was made up, honestly.
And he's not here to defend himself anymore. So, Charles, we can only leave it in the hands of people like you to keep it going, keep telling us the way it really was, I guess.
Well, you know, there's two sides to every story, and the depressing and quite horrifying thing that we're witnessing at the moment, particularly for me as a journalist, is that the whole media industry is telling only one side of the story.
Mm.
If you want to find out about this case and about the accusers, there is a wealth of information in the public domain. They've been suing the estate of Michael Jackson's company since 2013, and those cases have generated thousands of pages of paperwork. And that paperwork gives you an extraordinary insight into these two men, and they're constantly changing and contradictory and at times provably dishonest stories. And if journalists are going to cover this case, they at least owe it to Michael Jackson and to their professional ethics to go to those court documents and tell both sides of the story. But nobody is doing that. And as a journalist, for me, it's an embarrassment and it's shaming. It just makes me ashamed of my industry that nobody is doing their job properly.
And at the end of the day, Charles, no one is ever going to come to a conclusion. It'll always be a personal decision on what you want to believe, really.
Exactly. We will never, ever know. There will never be definitive proof. So, you know, it's difficult to see how this can ever be resolved. But all we can do in the meantime is test the credibility of the allegations. Nobody's saying that allegations shouldn't be taken seriously, but taking them seriously includes scrutinizing them and holding them to account. And if they don't hold water, then it's in a civilized society, you don't assume guilt.
Thank you, Charles. Really appreciate your time today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.